This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Today on CityCast Houston, an HPD officer is back on duty after being involved in his fourth deadly shooting. We're finding out why. Plus, could last year's historically hot summer be the new norm? And this grocery chain just unseated HEB as the top dog in Houston. Axios reporter Jay Jordan and Pulitzer Prize finalist Evan Mintz join me to recap the news from the week. It's Friday, April 26th. I'm Raheel Ramzanali, and here's what Houston's talking about. Jay, Evan, good morning. How's everybody doing?
Great. Terrific.
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So I want to start with a quick update on something I posted on the CityCast Houston Instagram, and it was a reel about the new Houston Texans jersey. It caught fire. It has over 150,000 views, and it was about the Houston Oilers colors, right? The Texans released new jerseys. The City Edition has a color called H-Town Blue, which, look, it looks like the Oilers colors. And I know the Texans went on a PR spin saying it's all about Houston and it was inspired by the city's history. The color's the color, okay? But I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on this because I have to update my thoughts a little bit. One thing I didn't consider was that the McNairs were being petty and they were taking a shot at the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans. So I like that. And even Hannah McNair admitted that in an interview with Sports Radio 610 that, yeah, they're being a little petty. It's okay. You know what? That's our color. So I wanted to update my thoughts. I kind of like the pettiness, but would love to get y'all's thoughts on this. Evan?
I love it. I mean, Houston has such a thin culture and history, which is unfortunate. Anything we can grab onto is good. And I also appreciate that interesting tension between like rough, tumble, dangerous, manly football and the baby blue. Like the only better thing would be like if the Oilers were like pink or something, but that's just not our history.
No, that's not our history. But I do like that they incorporated our history of slap culture, of candy paint into the red helmets, which is really cool. It's a big part of our city. So I do love that. Jay, your thoughts?
I think it's an amazing color. I think it's an amazing look. Obviously, it's a throwback to the Houston Oilers days. But, you know, in my mind, that blue also represents like the blue tiles that Houston has on its curbs. And, you know, that kind of deeper history that we have. The candy red, I cannot wait to see the red helmets with the horns on the side whenever they're actually playing those games. That's going to look so cool.
It really will look cool. And if you want to watch that reel, I've linked it in our show notes. Just be nice because a lot of people were not nice. I got called a lot of names. Hey, Jay, let's start with your biggest story. What do you got?
Yeah. So this week I published a few stories about a Houston police shooting that happened in Montgomery County. A group of police officers from different agencies had been trailing a person who they believed was involved in robberies across Fort Bend, Harris, and Montgomery counties. When they caught up to him in Oak Ridge North, which is a city in Montgomery County, they say that he had robbed a liquor store. Whenever he came out of the liquor store, the police surrounded his car. He ran on foot. This is all what the police said. He ran on foot. He had a gun in his hand and went behind the business, and then police opened fire on him, and he died. One of the officers who was involved, his name is Devin Innocencio, has been involved with three previous fatal shootings, all while on duty, all within the last 2 years. He's allowed back on the streets even as the investigations are unfolding. I published a story Thursday about body camera footage that the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office declined to release. So we're chipping away at trying to figure out, you know, everything that police know, everything that police are saying, and everything that happened that night.
So Jay, what do we know about the officer in question right now regarding the previous shootings?
So Officer Innocencio has been involved in three previous fatal shootings. The first one that he was involved with was in 2022 when he and a group of officers from the North Belt Division Crime Suppression Team opened fire on a man named Sharian Lockett, who had been accused of aggravated robbery. The family has later said that the person who accused him of aggravated robbery was a former high school acquaintance who held a grudge. So that's kind of the situation. After the shooting, family members sued Inocencio and the three other officers who opened fire for civil rights violations. The officers tried to claim qualified immunity in court, which is a legal protection for police officers. And two judges denied their claim for qualified immunity, meaning that the case can go forward if they're found liable for their actions in a civil court. That means that they will be able to be held liable without qualified immunity. A grand jury, however, declined to indict Inocencio and those three officers in that shooting in the following two shootings that happened less than a year apart later. They also, grand juries also declined to indict. So police are saying that these were justified shootings. Grand juries did not press criminal charges against the officers, but four shootings in 2 years, it, at the very least, raises some eyebrows.
Absolutely. Evan, your thoughts?
My thoughts, I'm reminded of a study out of NYU's Public Safety Lab that found that a very small number of law enforcement officers are responsible for a disproportionate number of misconduct complaints. And you combine that study with another one that found that peer misconduct led to misconduct by other officers. Basically, poor behavior spreads like a virus throughout departments. We hold police officers responsible for maintaining peace and safety. We put them in this very important position. They have critical jobs and they need to be held to high standards. And when we find officers that make you raise your eyebrow and wonder, are these really the right people you want on the front lines? We need to be able to have a conversation and say, maybe this person shouldn't be a police officer.
The Houston Police Officers Union president, Doug Griffith, told me that Inocencio was a part of this tactical unit, which targets violent criminals. And Griffith is saying that when you have officers who are in these tactical units who target violent offenders, they're going to be involved in more shootings. And that is, you know, the police union's president, that's his stance. And, you know, we'll see how the investigation unfolds.
Yeah, and if you want to read Jay's entire investigation into what's happening right now, I've linked it in our show notes. It is a really thorough read, so make sure you check it out if you are interested about this story a little bit more. Evan, let's get to your biggest story.
My biggest story is that it's election season. Now, I know y'all covered it earlier this week, but I think it's so important we need to talk about it again, particularly because this is a low turnout election. We're talking like 2-3%, because the only things on the ballot are some like weird local races for school boards, the race to replace Senator Whitmire, that's Molly Cook versus State Rep Jarvis Johnson, and the first ever election to the assessor board, the people who decide what your property is worth for property tax reasons. Now, this election for assessor is only applying to the 50 biggest counties in Texas. And many of those counties have canceled their elections because not enough people filed to run for the seats. For example, in Galveston County, they only had one person file for each of the three seats, so they don't need an election. But here in Harris County, we have some contested elections. And I personally am paying attention to Austin Pooley, who is running on a Georgia-style land tax platform. The idea is that you should tax land more than the improvements you build upon it, so as to incentivize development. You go around, say, midtown, downtown, you see a lot of open lots. Why aren't they building there? Well, you build anything, it's going to jack up the taxes. So we don't want people to just own property and let it lie fallow. We want to incentivize development for business, residences, whatever. And for the real history buffs, this was the platform of Houston's first Hispanic mayor, Joseph J. Pastoriza, who was in office for only a few months in 1917 before he died. But I've got to say, in memory of Mayor JJ, go and vote. Early voting runs through April 30th, and Election Day is Saturday, May 4th.
Yep. Make sure you get out there and research a little bit more, learn about what is happening. I know we kind of just mentioned it almost as a public service announcement. So nice to hear from you to give us a little bit more of a thorough breakdown. And again, every election matters. So make sure you go vote. All right. I'm going to get to my biggest story of the week. And this is more of a story of the upcoming few months. And I know it's nice outside right now, but according to new data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Climate Prediction Center, it shows that we are leaning towards another hotter than normal temperature summer between May and July. So get ready. And the reason this is happening is because we're in an El Nino pattern, but that is going to transition into a more neutral and sometimes drier La Nina pattern by June and August. So it is going to get hot. And if you thought last summer was like, oh man, that was just a one-off, I feel like this is the new normal. And in fact, in the cron.com story that I read, Ariana Garcia says that the recent NOAA maps align with findings from a recently released study from John Nielsen Gammon, a Texas State climatologist at Texas A&M. And they were forecasting more severely hot temperatures, heightened wildfire risk, and worsening drought conditions in the state over the next 12 years. They also found that 100-degree days will be about four times as common by 2036. So this is going to be our new normal, guys. Just get ready and buckle up because it's not going to be a cooler summer. It's going to be a lot like last year.
You know, it may feel like the hottest summer so far, but looking backwards, it's going to be the coolest summer we remember.
Yeah, isn't that scary, Jay?
That is very scary. Last summer was a little brutal. I remember back in 2011, 2012, I was working as a delivery driver in high school, and I didn't have AC in my car, and I thought that that was as bad as it was going to get. And I'll tell you, last year was a little worse than that. And so we'll see what's in store for this year.
I think all Houstonians get a little bit of weather PTSD when they hear the following term, heat dome.
Ew.
I never want to hear that again.
Gross. Just nasty.
Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's poppin'. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Jay, let's get to your most overlooked story.
Okay, so I feel like my most overlooked story this week, Axios got some data from a group called Chain Store Guide about grocery store market share in the Houston area. And it actually turns out that in 2023, Kroger slightly overtook HEB as the most popular grocery store chain in the Houston area. HEB had taken the cake in 2022 with about 24% of the market share, and Kroger was in third with 20%. But in 2023, Kroger has 22.7%, and HEB is close behind with 22.5%. There are a few caveats to this. Obviously, that's gross market share, which means the total number of sales across all stores. But if you break it down by how much money each store on average is making, HEB still beats out Walmart and Kroger in the top three spot.
Evan, which one are you, HEB guy or Kroger guy?
You know, I used to be a Kroger guy, but now it's 100% HEB. Like, you know, I will go out of my way to go to an HEB now.
Nice. Why is that?
It's just a more pleasant shopping experience. There's something about it. It feels a little bit calmer. It's a little bit more controlled. It's a little bit more familiar. I go into a Kroger and it's just too much sometimes. And it feels like that a lot of the branding feels antiseptic. It feels, you know, not familiar. I just don't enjoy it. And also, I will point out that the Meyerland HEB has all of the kosher for Passover foods I need. So this week I'm making a direct line out there.
Nice. I go to both. Like, I'm an HEB guy for the most part, but if I need to go to Kroger, it's not a big deal. It doesn't like ruin my day or anything. But HEB just has better products, right? Like, whether it be their tortillas, whether it be their ice cream, HEB just has better stuff. And Mutopia milk, that's my all-time favorite. Shout out to Mutopia.
100% yes. That Mutopia is like, is nectar from the gods. It's the best milk.
The best chocolate milk you'll ever have. So I appreciate that. Jay, how about you? Are you an HEB guy or Kroger guy?
When I was a kid here, I grew up going to Kroger. That's where my family went. As an adult, I am 100% on board with HEB. I use their curbside quite often. I use their delivery service quite often as well. My only gripe with HEB is that they have not implemented Apple Pay or Tap to Pay with your card at checkout. One of the minor, smallest inconveniences that you could be inconvenienced with in life, but at the end of the day, you know, it's the small comforts that make all the difference sometimes.
Yeah, super interesting, and hopefully they implement that Tap to Pay, because I'm with you, that does get kind of annoying. But hey, first world problems, right?
Exactly.
Evan, let's get to your most overlooked story.
Oh, I think the most overlooked story was that Houston Police Union representatives Doug Griffith and Ray Hunt went on Fox News this last weekend to talk about Houston. And, you know, nominally the headline was, oh, it's unsafe to go outside after midnight. I wouldn't let my family walk around in the city, which is just silly. You have places that are safe, places that are less safe, but violence is way down from where it was just a few years ago and way down from where it was like in the middle of the 90s. So let's not have any illusions. But the thing that went overlooked was them poking at the city for not fully funding more officers. They're saying there were thousands of officers short. The reason why we have this case backlog is because they don't have enough officers. And they were blaming city council and unsaid the mayor for not giving them the funds they need at a time when the mayor is giving $1 billion plus for the firefighters, eating up everything else in the budget. There isn't much room to expand police. And I've got to wonder, is this a shot across the bow at the mayor? You know, the police union endorsed Sylvester Turner. The mayor right now is making some pot shots at Sylvester Turner. The union endorsed Whitmire too, but I'm curious to see how this turns out.
You know, all we heard from Mayor Whitmire was crime is important. We got to get those numbers down. It's all about that. And one way to do it would be more officers, right? So, I'm surprised that there's this like little tension brewing here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm waiting for Whitmire to deliver on the promise of more cops. He said he was going to integrate Metro Police into HPD. What happened to that? You know, and if we spend all this money on firefighters, we're really not going to have any money left over for police officers.
It's hard to worry about policing and crime right now when you're worried about transportation, right, Evan? When you're worried about undoing bike lanes or upgrading and making sure our streets are a little bit safer for pedestrians and cyclists.
Yeah, I don't remember that part of the campaign. Like, I remember Whitmire running on like safety, balance the budget, and like that was kind of it. Now we're busting the budget and we're making the streets less safe. Like, what's going on here?
Jay, any thoughts?
I have plenty of thoughts, but I don't want to share them right now, particularly about, I'm just joking. There's a lot of funding issues. I was just talking with my co-author about this yesterday. There's going to be a lot of financial issues that the city is going to be facing, particularly in the next couple months as the budget cycle comes up. ARPA dollars are obviously no longer there. We have the deal with the firefighters, and then, you know, how is Whitmire going to fund police? How is this going to happen? He's spending almost $1 million tearing out Houston Avenue on a whim. I'm really interested to see how things shake out, particularly in the next couple months.
You know, the police department is they are not patient with people who don't get them what they want. And I think it was overlooked just how much Sylvester Turner got along with the police union. People don't think of things that way, but they really got along well. And I'm curious to see if Whitmire's presumption that he's got them behind him is going to lead to less friendly outcomes.
Okay, I'm going to get to my most overlooked story of the week. And if you don't know, guys, Houston is officially the most diverse city. We already knew that, but Wallet Hub named Houston the most diverse large city once again. The city performed the best in two overall major categories for socioeconomic and cultural diversity, earning a respective rank of number 27 and number 31 out of 501 cities in the study. So we already know this. And also another great thing about Houston is the religious diversity. We were number 54 across all of the cities measured. I just want to bring this to the table and let everyone know again that yes, we are the most diverse city. It's something that is overlooked sometimes. So don't forget it. Like, we are so lucky to live here. We're so lucky to have not only the cultures, but the food that comes with all these great cultures and backgrounds. So appreciate it. And also our neighbors, we get to meet people from all over the world and don't take it for granted. So I really want to bring this to the table today.
I mean, I'm glad to see that we still got it. This is who we are. We're Houston.
It's seriously such an amazing place to be and being able to experience so many different, you know, global cultures. I have to shout out Street to Kitchen. I went there for the first time on Wednesday with some colleagues, and it was an amazing experience and just goes to show how easy it is to access global cuisines, global cultures in the city of Houston.
Absolutely. Oh, Street to Kitchen. So good. So good.
Very spicy. Very good, though.
Let's get to our moment of joy. Jay, kick it off.
Alrighty. This is a bittersweet moment of joy. The Astros are not doing too well, and my moment of joy with that is that that means that maybe tickets might be cheaper later this year down the line. I don't know. We're still pretty expensive, I feel like. Middle of the road, as far as we know, as of last year for ticket prices and going to the games. But, you know, the Astros aren't. we have a weekend stand with the Colorado Rockies, and, you know, we've lost 18 games so far this season and only won 7. We're really looking forward to seeing the Astros turn around, and that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, as soon as everyone is off the injured list, maybe things turn back around in baseball. You can definitely make up a lot of ground, but they are digging a hole that might be too deep, unfortunately. And I said this when we were talking about the Astros before the season. It looked like it was time. No dynasty lasts forever in sports, and things were slowly catching up to them already. And I think everything is just going to hit the wall right now this year. So it might be tough to get out of this hole, but tickets are going to be cheap. So yeah, there's a little moment of joy right there.
If you love baseball, it doesn't matter if you're winning or losing. You want to get to the game.
Yeah, but we'd rather watch winning baseball because it is hard to watch right now. Evan, what's your moment of joy?
My moment of joy was watching Commissioner's Court this week and watching them shut down an attempt to overturn Harris County's misdemeanor bail reform. A few Republican misdemeanor judges are asking the court to fund their lawyers so they can reopen the O'Donnell settlement, which settled a federal litigation that found our old system of misdemeanor bail was unconstitutional, was locking people up just because they didn't have money. So when Democrats swept the county in 2018, they settled the suit. And as a result, most low-level misdemeanors where a person isn't on probation, parole, or pretrial release, meaning they're not out on bond in that moment, they get to go home right away without needing to pay. These are the lowest level cases. And all the research has found that actually it makes the city safer when you get folks back to their families, when you get folks back to their jobs, rather than forcing them to stay in jail just because they don't have enough money. And this settlement is pretty well accepted. I mean, Crime Stoppers says they're fine with it. And so I was just glad to see Commissioner's Court say, we're not going to deal with any of this. What's done is done. Let's shut it down and move on to the next thing.
There's a lot of misinformation that goes around with bail reform, particularly whenever crime victim advocates swap misdemeanor bail reform with felony bail reform, which does not exist, as far as we know here in Harris County. So I think it's, you know, fantastic to point this out that, you know, Commissioner's Court is standing by what they've been standing by for the last couple of years with bail reform.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to go after some of the felony court judges you think are making bad calls, trying to overturn O'Donnell isn't going to do anything to them. So it just seems like a doctor misdiagnosing a disease. Like, if you're worried about what's going on in the felony courts, focus on the felony courts, not the misdemeanor courts.
Perfectly said. All right, I'm going to get to my moment of joy, and this is a quick one. I want to send some love to Brittany Shea of Cron.com on her quick explainer about Houston's slap culture. We talked about it to start the show, about the candy red paint, but she wrote this really cool explainer that I think all of our listeners will enjoy, especially if you don't know about the culture. But this started on social media because in Austin, somebody put up a picture of a Kia with some swangas on it. And they were like, wait, what is this? Like, what is happening here? How's this legal? The thing went viral on Instagram. So Brittany was like, hey, here's a quick explainer for everybody that has no idea about what swangas are, what slap culture is, and why it's so important to Houston, how it got started, and why it has become one of our cultural icons. So if you don't know, now you know. If you want to read that, it is in our show notes, along with all of the stories we talked about. So make sure you check that out. And if you have any stories that you think we missed, send us a note with the contact info in our show notes. Evan, Jake, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun, and we will talk to y'all down the road.
Thanks for having us.
Chat with y'all next time.
That was Jay Jordan and Evan Mintz. That will do it for this week here on CityCast Houston. Our producers are Carleon Jones and Joyce Tang. Our newsletter editors are Brooke Lewis and Natalie Rivera. And the host is me, Raheel Ramzanali. Our music is by the band All the Kimonos. We'll be back on Monday to answer this pressing question. Is Houston safe? The recent NOAA.